In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team's spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan Shot today.
It's a WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Chickies in South Philly is where we are every Monday. Brandon Graham show coming up at 6 in the Players Lounge at 7 with special guest Landon Dickerson. Joining us every Monday at 4 is none other than Donovan McNabb, brought to you by United Tire. Now is the time to make the right choice about who services your car. United Auto Service. Go to unitedtire.com. That's unitedtire.com. Don't drive alone. Drive United. Donovan, how are we feeling?
I'm doing well. How you guys doing?
Oh, we're excellent.
Five? Come on, man. 8-2. 8-2, dog.
Let's relax. We're still trying to figure some things out on both sides of the ball. We don't want to get too excited.
Oh, we love getting excited. Then we love getting mad and then excited and then mad.
Right.
Yeah. So, Donovan, let me ask you this. We haven't had a non-quarterback win an MVP in a decade. And right now, when you look at the betting odds, Saquon Barkley, I think, is like 10th in betting odds. What do you think about the idea about a non-quarterback winning MVP in the NFL right now?
Now, let's just start by saying you do know you're realizing that you're asking a quarterback.
That's the whole point. Yeah, that's the whole point.
Let's see how unbiased you can be right now. Let's go.
I mean, you know, we're well deserving of the award. But I will say this. I mean, when you look at what Saquon has done, there's a lot of key factors that go into place. Number one, the impact that he's brought to this football team. When things were down early on, when we had injuries, Jalen wasn't playing as great as he would love to. Saquon was pretty much the bright spot, and he's been the consistent bright spot. So, I mean, for you to say 10th, I would have to put him number 2 or 3 right now in the MVP. And that would just be Washington. That puts him ahead of Jaden Daniels.
It was interesting because looking last year, Christian McCaffrey actually was 3rd in MVP voting.
He finished 3rd.
And he didn't get any first-place votes, but it did seem like if Lamar didn't come on right when he came on, there was an opening for McCaffrey to do it. And I think Saquon will need some help, but it does seem like if those top two, which people are really focused on, forgetting about the people ranked behind him, it does feel like if Josh Allen and Lamar slip up, I think there could be an opening for Barkley to do it.
Well, remember, I believe it was the Baltimore 49er game that put Lamar ahead of Christian McCaffrey.
Yep.
And he continued to be consistent all the way through. So I think at this particular point where Saquon is, I think that Pittsburgh game might kind of sit into the eyes of a lot of the voters. But if Lamar kind of stays on this path in which he is at this particular point and the way their football team is playing, Lamar would have to still be number one. And then I'll throw another name in there. Even though that his team is not doing very well, but he's been doing well the last 4 weeks, Joe Burrow definitely is in that top 5.
Yeah. Yeah, if it weren't for his defense, he'd probably be leading the MVP race with the way he played. Man, we go back to that Thursday night game against Washington. Got off to another little bit of a slow start, but came on strong in that second half. I know it's been a few days. Just your thoughts and reflections coming out of that game and how you thought the Eagles played against Washington that night.
I think our secondary was our best, I think, overall performance of our secondary. I look at it in a sense, even though it ended up being a little closer than we expected, the way that they played pretty much for at least 3 quarters, was impressive to me. It looked like, you know, Washington was a little pulled back. They were still trying to figure out what they can do in the passing game, which wasn't much. I mean, besides the checkdown of hitting running backs and maybe a couple tight ends, but I think in the regard, I think that was more of a defensive game for us. Obviously what Saquon was able to do to bust it open a little bit, kind of shows his consistency all throughout the year. But I think that was more of a defensive win that really propelled them to get in that position.
When you look at the defense the last two games, because I thought the Cowboys win was sort of led by the defense also. So that's like back-to-back weeks where you could make a case that the defense sort of led the way for this team. And it's really gotten a lot of us to start thinking about how good this team could be. We knew what the offense could potentially be, but this defense seems to be exceeding expectations. When you look at the way the defense is playing, you think this sort of puts the Eagles in that group of teams that certainly has a chance to win the Super Bowl this year?
No, I'm going to say this, and I don't see it in any slightest of way, but our secondary and our linebackers were the issue last year.
Okay.
And I think we've addressed a little bit of those issues where we're probably going to have a defensive rookie of the year and with our corner. And mm-hmm. I would have to say both rookies have been playing at an elite level. But I think overall our secondary has played well. Besides early on in the season against Atlanta when Slay gave up that touchdown
late in the
pass.
Game, yeah.
Mm-hmm. At the end of the game, I would have to say our secondary has been quite impressive and one in which I would have to rank number one as far as our defense is concerned. And following our linebacking core has been playing pretty well, much better than they were last year. And then that's now our defensive front. Has been now getting to the quarterback. Early on in the season, remember, we had talked about it a little bit, about us not really creating pressure. And I think we're getting a lot of push up front, and our secondary has been locking up enough where those 2 to 2.5 to 3 seconds that quarterback needs to be able to get that ball out, they have to hold the ball a little bit more due to the coverage on the back end.
Talking to Donovan McNabb, who joins us every Monday at 4. Donovan, it's been an interesting year for Jalen, who had a very uneven start to the year and then played well for a few games. And in these last couple, we've seen some pretty bad first halves. What do you think about Jalen's evolution this year and the specific things that are accomplishable for him to get better at?
Well, I think, it goes back again to when we talked about, I think it was last year, we were having issues with our first 15 plays. And we just couldn't seem to score in the first quarter of games. And sometimes the first half, we're sitting at 6 points or maybe 10 or 3 points. And it's really the start of the game. You have to find a way to get your quarterback in rhythm. And if that means quick passes to the tight end, quick game, getting the ball to AJ on a 4 to 6 yard completion, maybe hitting a shallow cross here and there, whatever it may be, we have to find ways to try to get Jalen in rhythm early on, and feed off of Saquon and him being so effective in the run game. Listen, this year, one thing that I've liked, and I've talked about it last year a little bit, about getting Jalen under center. We're in shotgun entirely too much. Where in shotgun, at times you get too comfortable. You get too relaxed and your footwork is all off and your passes aren't on time because we're a little late and now we're forcing it, whatever it may be. And I think what we've seen this year, with Kellen Moore in this offense, we knew that his passing game would be up at the top, but it would be more what he have to do to build it around Saquon, and I think he's done that. And so now it's really getting your quarterback in rhythm, and I think we can find ways to get him in rhythm, but we also have to utilize our tight ends a little bit more.
It's so interesting, Donovan, because when you were with the Eagles, everyone knew about that first 15 because that's it. You guys really had that. It felt like something that we could count on, and it's been interesting to watch this team. That is the one thing they just haven't been able to nail yet. And you mentioned in rhythm, it seems like when Jalen can run that two-minute drive and do a little no huddle, which they tried doing at the beginning of the game here, after that, it seems like that's when he really is locked in.
Well, and that's the thing, too, and we talked about getting a rhythm. When you come up with an up-tempo offense early in the game, that's the main thing, to find yourself in second and medium to second and short. You can't find yourself in second and long, then you're third and long, And now all of a sudden you're digging into the crate now to try to find ways to just to get a first down. That first and second down are so vital because now you want to put yourself in a third and three, third and four situation where you can either run the football, run the play action, maybe get them out of the corner where you're putting pressure on defense. And I think any time that we've been kind of in rhythm early on, that's continued on pretty much almost throughout the game. Now you're going to go through some times where it's up and down. But if you start the game out fast, now that puts so much pressure on the defense where defensive coordinators either have to blitz or they're going to try to force you to make the mistake. And if you're in rhythm, anything is possible of that explosive play.
How do you feel about quarterback play around the league overall? Mm. You know, it seems like...
That's a great question.
Yeah.
Great question.
When you're, what do you think?
I'm going to be honest with you. I am not as impressed as I've been over the years. And again, it kind of goes back to what we talked about with Jalen, because there's a lot of times where our quarterbacks aren't seeing things and they're not throwing with rhythm. Just so happened last night with Kansas City and Buffalo. What Buffalo was able to do is they were able to get Patrick Mahomes off his spot, which now he has to try to buy time to create, which led to turnovers at times. And who to utilize their legs the right way? That would be Josh Allen. And so I think when I look at the quarterback position right now, even though that Patrick Mahomes is not having kind of his MVP type of year, Lamar Jackson has been outstanding all throughout the season. Now, I just talked about Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow in the last five weeks has been playing great. Justin Herbert has been playing great. And that's a tribute to them running the football. Harbaugh has brought in the running game where now he's under center a lot. And he's doing the play action pass. I believe he was 13 or 15 in the first half of the game last night. Hit a wall in the beginning of the second, but picked it up. But when you talk top quarterbacks that are playing right now, there aren't a lot of quarterbacks that are showing consistency out throughout the league. I mean, Jaden Daniels was hot and playing well, and then he hit the wall against us. But overall, I would say a quarterback position, the quarterback play hasn't been that great all throughout the league.
Well, Donovan, you would love it here. We are so laid back right now about the Philadelphia Eagles.
I can tell. I didn't know if Ike was sitting there with some warm coffee, might have thrown a spike in it or something. Yeah, I mean, it sounds like y'all just sitting back and listening to what I'm saying and just kind of gathering whatever else you want to ask.
That's kind of what it is. I mean, listen, we're in a good position right now. We're 8-2, man.
Absolutely.
We're feeling good right now.
Yep. Did you just wait until Monday?
Don't say that.
All right, Donovan.
I think it continues on. Hopefully we continue to stay healthy and we continue to grow.
Yes, sir.
Love it, man.
All right, Donovan.
Okay, broski.
All right, you got it.
Thank you for the call.
Yep.
We'll give you the instructions on how to win the Lincoln Park tickets in about 5 minutes. The interesting thing about Burrow and his numbers, and Burrow is awesome, part of those numbers are because that defense can't stop anyone.
They can't stop anybody.
So they have to throw all the time. Now, credit to him, if the defenses he's facing know he's got to throw and he's still putting up those numbers. But it just...
I mean, he's literally dropping back 50 times a game.
They are.
That's the football I want.
Yeah,
I'm so sick of this running game thing. I really am, man. And that and Spike, yes, that has everything to do with gambling.
Yeah. 215-592-9494. Big Aaron in West Philly. Big A, you're on WIP.
What's going on, fellas?
What up, A?
Can y'all hear me? Okay.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
You know what? I don't believe I'm agreeing with Spike so much today. I don't know what's going on with me today, but I'm agreeing with Spike today.
Mm.
What did he say?
You have to be aggressive in this football. When you go over that 40-yard line, on over there 40, you got to be aggressive, man.
How's that worked out for us this year?
I'm going to give you the caveat to that. No, I'm going to say it now. Me and my boy are talking about this.
It's worked out one
maybe
play.
Maybe Jake Elliott ain't what you think he is. Maybe.
Damn,
maybe
we're going to Jake.
Wow.
Time to bring in a new kicker?
Come on,
maybe,
man.
Nick is seeing something in practice. It's like, I don't trust this more to kick this field goal. And it showed its ugly head the last game. You see what I'm saying? So I don't know. Me and my boy.
Well, I will say this. If he keeps missing field goals, I think everybody will be like, go for it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think everybody will be saying, go for it. Well, yeah, Jake Kelly can't have another game like
now,
he had the other night.
Now, do we do what we do with Jalen Mahomes and bring up that Justin Tucker's having a horrible year and Evan McPherson's
yeah,
having
some other kickers, yeah.
Look at all the other great kickers around the league having a bad year.
Yes, he's having an awful year, too. Yeah. Kickers have – yo, man, the kickers get on my nerves anyway. So I ain't even going to get started.
Yeah, they should honestly take kickers out of
whenever football. Whenever they don't do their job, it makes everybody upset.
Football would be so much better if there's no kickers in it.
You sound like Richie.
Here's another thing I agree with you, Spike.
Yeah,
that
I love
at
it.
At the beginning of the game, why don't you run the two-minute drill then? Because when he gets in rhythm, he's in rhythm like that.
Oh, Jalen?
Why can't you get Jalen?
Oh,
start
okay.
The game off fast. Don't huddle. Why you got to huddle if you got 15 scripted plays all the time?
You can't. I would tell you why we got to huddle, because he needs to collect his thoughts.
He plays better, it seems like, in the 2 minutes, bro, when he ain't collecting his thoughts. So start him off like that and see what happens. Maybe we can score in the first quarter or something. You know, you got to run fast. Got to start off fast. All this slowness and counting. Me and my boys look at this. Why they hike the ball with zero to go? Zero or one?
That is annoying.
It's very annoying. And I looked at the football games, and I'm looking at them. They hike them on 5 seconds, 6 seconds. We the only ones that's like almost below one.
Well, that's something that Lane Johnson mentioned out of the bye, that that was something that he wanted to do is to get to the line of scrimmage and snap the ball earlier to not give the defense as much of a chance to adjust. That way, they're adjusting to us and we're not adjusting to them. So I don't know why that's happening. It did seem like, I mean, the game feels like 100 years ago now. It did. I do think they went no huddle early in the game on Thursday, though. I do think the Eagles did. So thank you for the call, Big A. Appreciate
it. They tend to go up-tempo.
No, one more.
Oh, okay.
What you got?
What else are you agreeing with me on? Oh, yeah.
You know why? I agree with you with the damn Sixers. I love them, but I hate them at the same time. I love them, and I hate them at the same time.
I only hate them right now.
Getting on my damn nerves.
Yeah. Well... Yep.
January.
Get on my damn nerves. Play the game. Play. Get out there and play.
January.
Thank you for the call, Big A. I think a lot of people are.
January.
A lot of people are like you, though I'm not even sure if they're going to be back in January. Like, this team's going to have to do a lot to earn back the trust of people who care about them, the 76ers are, because they've lost a lot of it. And I would say the reason they've lost my trust is because I bought it. You know what I mean? I bought the ramp-up thing because it made sense to me. All of it made sense. But it only makes sense if he comes in
ready
shape.
To go, yes.
Yeah. And the first game, I could even grant you haven't played a game in 6 months. You getting your wind back. You're hyped up. But in the second game, to be as just – I've seen out of shape Joel enough over the years to know what it looks like, and that second half looked like that. You know, the turnovers, the sloppy play, the physical sort of body language of it was terrible.
Well, we know
it.
We've seen it. We've seen it, and Friday was very reminiscent of stuff we've seen.
Yep.
In the past, and it made. I actually got frustrated like watching it.
Yes.
Because he hasn't played in many games, so I'm actually watching Friday night, trying to make sure I stay up for that ridiculous Tyson fight that came on late. We haven't even gotten into that.
Yeah, we will.
On a day. Ass out, cheeks out, Mike Tyson on Friday night. that terrible fight. But, yeah, I'm watching that Sixer game, and you're right. It looked good in the first half. I look at the Sixers right now, and Jarrett McCann is the only thing worth watching on the Sixers right now.
Now, he's fun to watch. I will give you that.
Something new. He's young. He's energetic out there. Yeah, he's doing all type of stuff.
He's not huffing and puffing, you know,
right,
after he's
exactly.
been in the game for 6 minutes. All right. So all week at 4:30.
Nails.
We have pairs of tickets to go see Linkin Park August 16th at the Wells Fargo Center. Tickets go on sale this Thursday noon at Ticketmaster. But we have a pair every day. And all you got to do is sing one line. So you will call now, 215-592-9494. We will play you a clip of a Linkin Park song. We promise it's a big hit. And all you got to do is sing the next line. We have, and if the first person gets it wrong, we'll go to the next person. So if you're interested in the tickets, again, August 16th, at the Wells Fargo Center, 215-592-9494. You will have to sing for Linkin Park tickets.
And we do mean sing, not just know the words.
No, yeah. You gotta
Don't
sing.
Talk your way through it.
It's one line. That's all. Just one line. Also coming up next, news about Juan Soto meetings.
Huh?
Are the Phillies in that news? Jack will have it. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Chickies in South Philly. Gift cards for the holidays. Chickies gift cards, the perfect gift that always fits and always gets used. Buy in person at a Chickies location or online at chickiesandpeets.com. It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Chickies, Packer Ave, South Philly. Never too early to book that holiday party at Chickies and Pete's. Book now for November or January and get a party upgrade. Visit chickiesandpeets.com. The Twitter question is sponsored by Mark's Jewelers. Our football team is chasing a championship ring. Make her feel like a world champion every day with a ring from Marks. Marks-Jewelers.com. Who is the most valuable Eagle on the Eagles offense? Jack, we need a new question. It's obviously Saquon. Saquon was 69% of the vote.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any question
Come
you
on,
want.
Man.
Good. Well, I just want to make sure.
All right. Okay. So we have all week.
And by the way, AJ should not be second. He should be. Or AJ should not be third. He should be second.
He should be second. Yeah. All right. So all week at 4:30, we have a pair of tickets every day to see Linkin Park August 16th at the Wells Fargo Center. Tickets on sale Thursday at noon at Ticketmaster.com. First time Linkin Park has played Philly in 8 years, I think like that. I think, okay. Obviously, with their new lead singer, Emily Armstrong. So this is the way we're going to do it every day. We will give out the number. We will pick callers. The first caller, we will play you a clip of a Linkin Park song. You need to know the next line of the song, but you have to sing it. You can't just say it. If you say it, I'm going to hang up on you right away, and we're going to go to the next person.
How do they just try to sing it like Chester Bennington?
Or Emily. Well, they sing it the same way. Chester and Emily sing it the same way. Yeah. Sing it like you.
Okay.
Just sing it like you. Well, not like Jack, like you, the person. So Dave in Marlton is first up. Dave, are you prepared?
I am prepared.
Okay. Now, remember, the song ends. You have to sing the next line, not just say it, and put some heart into it. Okay.
I shall.
All right.
I'm all about it.
All right. Buzz, hit the song. What it meant to be will eventually be a memory of a time I tried so
hard and got so far. In the end, it doesn't even matter.
There we go.
All right.
Oh, man, how about that?
You sang it well.
All day, every day.
Yeah.
All right. We found a winner.
That is my nickname in horseshoes, gentlemen.
Is all day, every day, or Linkin Park?
Yes, because I throw ringers.
Oh, okay. All day, every day. Wow.
All right, Dave.
Well, that's such a great game. So anyways, I did have... Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you got it. No, you keep cooking, buddy.
Yeah, you got the tickets. If you had a point you wanted to make, you go ahead. You make the point, buddy.
I do want to make
You got to sing it, though.
Joel Embiid.
No, I'm just saying.
That's
right,
good, yep.
All right, well, what do you want to say?
So anyways, on Joel Embiid, there's no veteran presence.
Dude, he's 30. He's 30. Eric Gordon's 35.
Yeah, PJ Tucker came here to hold his hand for
Caleb
a year.
Caleb Martin's been there for a while. I don't like this whole Andre Drummond's 30 years old. How many vets do? Wait, Paul George is 34. This team is all veterans except for Jared McCain. No.
But think about back in the time where Charles was out of shape. What did Moses do there?
What did Moses do?
Yeah.
Tell him to get in shape.
He says you're fat, you're out of shape, you're not going to play.
Look, man.
That's not going to work with today's.
Yeah, athlete. Here's the thing.
He makes $65 million
a year. It's not going to work with today's players.
Well, no, here's the thing, Dave. And I think it's funny, and I mentioned it last week, when Charles and Shaq make fun of Embiid for not being in shape, two of the least in shape guys to show up for an NBA season in league history. But I don't need a superstar. Because you know what? When Charles got traded to Phoenix and it was time to win, nobody needed to tell Charles that he needed to be in shape when it was time to win a championship. And he took the team to the finals, and they didn't win, but they got there. I don't need...
That is a great point.
I don't need... God bless Joel. I'm an enormous fan of his, and I want him to succeed here. If he needs somebody to tell him that it's important to be in shape at the beginning of a basketball season, then he ain't it. You know, and for the number of people, and I thought it was, I supported him not playing back-to-backs, and I supported him not caring about individual awards, and I supported the ramp-up. But, like, this ramp-up doesn't look like, a ramp-up to what? to huffing and puffing in the second the second half of the second game you're playing. It's just like he I'm glad that he has had the support of the players that he has of the fans that he has had here, but he is on the very last bit of them. And I don't know, as somebody who has supported him for years, I don't know how you can look at what we looked at on Friday night and say this is okay. It's not okay anymore. It's not okay. It's time to do it.
You're absolutely right. I mean, it's just so exhausting.
It is.
Like, I love this team. I was there with the 83, and it was, you know, the best times of my years of watching this team win the championship.
Yeah, I'm going to put you on hold, Dave, so you can, so Buzz can get your info, so you can get the tickets. He is the most talented player I've ever seen play for the 76ers, I personally have ever seen. And to have that opportunity in front of you, the injuries are the injuries. They are what they are. But he can do everything else to make sure that those things, like if they happen, you know, if your face breaks, if you tear something in your knee, those things you can't control, but this part you can. And I don't think he's forget what I think, he's not doing a good job of that.
Mm-mm.
So... Jack, you want to talk a little baseball?
Yeah.
All right.
So,
Buzz, hit it.
It's time for the High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report. Sacrifice for Soto. Here's Jackie Baseball.
Mm-hmm. It's not growing on me, Spike.
Well, he hasn't fixed it yet.
Yeah, well, yeah. Listen, it's okay.
What are you going to do?
So, it came out over the weekend. Obviously, a team that is now, I think, in the mix for him and maybe towards the top seems to be the Red Sox. Did a three-hour meeting with them, and it seems like they're trying to sell the vision of him, Rafael Devers, and I think they want to trade for Vlad Guerrero Jr., and having those three kind of come together for the Red Sox. So they are now all of a sudden at the forefront of the Juan Soto sweepstakes. But we all know the big team is the Mets. And apparently over the weekend, they made an offer to Juan Soto, 14 years, $660 million.
As the first offer.
That's the first offer.
So he's going to make more than Ohtani did. Because Ohtani had $700 million, right? And if it's starting at $660, then he's going to wind up with the biggest contract in baseball history.
Well, he has more years, though, right?
What was
Ohtani's was 10.
Oh, Ohtani's was 10. Yeah,
yeah,
so, you're right.
And his
yeah.
is 70 mil per. This would be 47.
So yeah. He'll end up with probably a higher total value, but a lower annual AAV.
Which is what? Scott Boras cares about.
Is the AAV or the
well,
total?
Well, he cares about setting some kind of record.
Right.
So
right.
He's $705 million, that means he's ahead of Ohtani.
So the Yankees meeting is this week. The Mets have already met with him. The Red Sox have already met with him. And we still have not heard anything about the Phillies meeting with him at all.
Uh-uh.
Mm. You got to meet with the guy.
Maybe they do it sort of behind the scenes. They don't want it to get out once they realize that they're... I mean,
I suppose that's possible.
They know Scott Boras, so they know what number they need to come in with.
I mean, right.
Like, yeah, they know you're not coming in with some low number and negotiating.
I suppose they could tell Boras, we want to be a part of this, but we don't want to be part
right.
of the dog,
yes.
the public dog and pony show.
Yes.
I suppose that's possible.
That's sort of what I'm thinking.
Jack.
I don't buy that they're just bowing out.
Yeah.
I agree with Ike. I don't think they want to make this public because, again, if you make it public, you're like in, you're going for them. That is setting themselves up for.
They know how we're going to react.
Exactly.
To that, yes.
And then if they don't get them, then it's, well, how could you guys not get
right.
them?
Right. Yes.
So, yes, I think they're trying to be more stealth about it. And in that, so again, hopefully that's the case. John Heyman said there's mystery teams involved.
Yeah.
The Phillies have traditionally been
I can see that.
One of those kind of mysteries.
Well, and listen, that the Eagles were like that with Russ and Deshaun Watson. They never officially
sure,
said anything about them being on it, but there were enough rumors behind the scenes that they were certainly checking into it. I mean, your dad came on the air and said it was, remember that? What did he say?
90% that if Deshaun Watson gets traded, he'll be an Eagle?
Yep.
Well, that 10% came through, and thank God it did, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, seriously.
Holy
now,
moly.
Now, granted, this was going into the Super Bowl year, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, can you imagine?
This is going into the 2022 season.
Can you with all the debate we have about Jalen Hurts, all the debate, can you imagine if it was Deshaun Watson we had here?
Well, at least we have a debate right now. I think everyone would be on the same page
right,
with
right.
Deshaun Watson.
Right.
You don't think he would succeed? I think he would have succeeded here.
I don't know, man.
He would have succeeded here. Oh. I think everybody succeeds here, oh. except for Sam Bradford.
Yeah, right. But even he had a couple of moments. Yeah. Mark Sanchez had a couple of moments.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Maybe. I'm actually,
look at Russ. We thought Russ was done.
I was told Russ is cooked. Turns out you got to just let him cook.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so that seems to be the latest on Soto. Teams are lining up. The early offseason prediction from insiders that he's going to decide December 8th through 11th. So we got about less than a month. He's going to decide out at the winter meetings. So we'll see. I thought it was interesting. Alex Bregman seems to be the next big name that people are interested in. This is classic Scott Boras, but this came out earlier today that they're looking to aim higher than most projections out there and want like $300 million for Alex Bregman. You could want that.
have three players making $300 million.
You're
going to
get.
Wait, they wanted 10 years. He's 30, and they want 10 years.
Exactly. Exactly. A deal closer to the 11-year, $350 million deal that Manny Machado signed in February. You could ask for it all you want. You're going to get your 7 years, 180, and be happy.
Well, it only takes one, though.
Really?
I think so. Yeah. Now, I could be wrong.
He wins most of these negotiations.
Not last year. Last year, teams are actually starting to blackball Scott Boras a little bit. Like last year, you know, Chapman, he's looking for a lot of money. Snell looking for a lot of money. Jordan Montgomery looking for a lot of money. They end up signing not great deals.
Yeah.
So, I think there's a bit of a pushback on Scott Boras and all his demands.
Yeah. Take that, Scott.
That's right.
He is entertaining.
He is famously entertaining.
And somebody tell Rod Scott Boras is representing me moving forward.
me too.
Yeah, let's not get Boras. Can you imagine Rod's face as he gets a call from Scott Boras?
What the hell?
I'm representing the afternoon show at WIP. We have several people interested.
I like that.
Who the hell's interested? Right. Jack, you have more, right? Do you have more?
Well, I thought it was interesting the other day, Buster Olney was on the Baseball Tonight podcast. I know people are probably like, well, are they going to make a move? Are they going to do anything? I think Buster Olney laid it out pretty good about where he feels like the Phillies are from an organization standpoint.
The team that I think is going to be especially aggressive because to borrow the phrase from a general manager, which I thought was perfect, he goes, okay, which teams are on World Series tilt? In other words, it's all about winning the World Series, Philadelphia Phillies. You know, who had the best team, I think, in 2024. They were heavily involved in the Crochet conversations back in July. If they had put Andrew Painter in that deal, they would have landed him. This winter, I think that they're going to go bonkers. I think the Phillies are going to be one of the most aggressive teams. As you know, the White Sox priority is to have a position players at the centerpiece of any deal they do for Crochet. Phillies don't necessarily match up in a great way there. But I think that they will be the team willing to give the extra 10% to finish a deal.
Well, I like bonkers.
I like bonkers, too.
You know what sounds bonkers to me, Jack?
Juan Soto.
14 years, $720 million for Juan Soto. Sounds pretty crazy to me.
Yeah, that does sound pretty crazy.
Sounds bonkers.
So, we'll see. Crochet does feel like of all the moves out there, Bregman, too. But Crochet feels like that's their all-in move. They do make it.
Yeah, if they're not interested in Crochet, they've been used as a public, because we've heard about Crochet since the trade deadline.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, all right. More from you after I tell you about where to get stuff for your dog or your cat. You love them. Member of the family. Our dogs, members of our family. Some would say we may love the dogs more than we love each other. Some may say that. If you do, Dogs and Cats Rule is the only place you can go. George Perenni is the lead dog at Dogs and Cats Rule, and he knows that the thing that you're concerned about is your pet's health and happiness. So when you go to Dogs and Cats Rule, not only are you going to get the top-of-the-line, cutting-edge pet nutrition stuff, even the fresh diets, the raw, gently cooked, freeze-dried, they also know that there's so many options that having a staff that can answer your questions is the most important. I've been to three different locations for Dogs and Cats Rule, and every time I have a question about what to feed Rebel or what to feed Scotchy or what supplement might be good, they have the best answers, and they lead me in the direction that I need. It's easier than Googling stuff. It's easier than going to one of those big box stores, and you're going to get a great product from a staff that cares about your pet. And as we head into the winter, if your dog needs a coat, maybe needs a fleece, maybe needs a sweater. Don't laugh. Some dogs do. They have all that stuff there as well. Dogsandcatsrule.pet is the website. Shop small, shop local, shop family. 215-592-9494. Leon in Dallas. You're on WIP. What's up, Leon?
Hey, what's up, boys? How y'all doing?
What's up, Leon?
Clear?
What's that?
I said, do I sound pretty clear?
No, not really.
You sound like you're on a speakerphone in a bathroom.
I was in a bathroom at work, but how about now? Am I good?
Did you say you're in a bathroom at work?
Yes, that's what he said.
Well, hey, man, I had to run out real quick. But
we appreciate the effort.
Shout out you guys. Listen, the first time I ever called WIP was back in 2015, and Ike Reese hung up on me, man. He thought I was a freaking Cowboy fan.
Yep.
You didn't pass the smell test, Leon.
Yeah, and actually, I have a stutter, so I was so nervous, and I just came on, and I just started stuttering it. All I heard was click, and I was like, dang, I hung up.
Wow.
That doesn't really sound like me.
Well, it depends on the day. Had he had a bunch of coffee?
He probably did, but I know I had to reach out on Twitter to let him know, like, hey, man, I'm not a Cowboy fan. I'm sorry for, because he thought I was a troll. But anyway, listen, right, so I was at that fight
You were at the fight Friday.
I'm sorry to hear that. And I ended up going for free, right? And let me tell you this, dude. I feel as though I'm entitled to a refund. Even though I went for free, that fight was the biggest cluster, you know what, in probably all of combat sports history. I don't know if y'all remember that one. It was between, I don't remember which round it was, but when Mike, he was looking like he was in pain.
Yeah.
I don't know if y'all can think back to that, man. The whole crowd, or at least my whole section, they were all, like, just bad and in awe because, dude, it looked like he was really hurt. So,
matter of fact, I was just looking at that. What round was that?
Where it looked like he could have ended it, and he didn't.
Looking at it right
I feel like it was the third round.
It looked like he's about to die over there in the corner.
Yeah. Well, and he said afterwards, Jake Paul said afterwards that he decided not to go for the knockout at one point. And
I can appreciate that.
I appreciate it. I appreciate it as a human. But, like, if you're going to put somebody in the ring who you're afraid to hit, then maybe you shouldn't have sold 80,000 tickets and had everybody stay up till midnight to watch you fight him. And I feel like a dummy for waiting up. But
I was more upset that we had to wait to midnight to watch the fight.
Oh, especially when I thought it was 11.
Yeah.
Because a friend told me it was 11, and then around 9:30 he texted me, he's like, 11 Central. And I was like, no! It was. So what was the mood like in there? Because it sounded like there were some boos after the fight.
It was. I mean, it was mainly a pro-Tyson crowd. Like, people were coming to see Mike, pull the upset.
Oh, yeah.
And unfortunately, I knew Jake was going to win just because he wins on points in almost all his fights. So, I probably won't be watching or going to any more of these celebrity, whatever you want to call them, boxing events because they're just a waste of money. And as far as the Birds, listen, man, I'm a believer, again, of this team. If the Eagles are Jim Jones and they're, feeding me this Kool-Aid right now, guess what? I'm drinking it because, they just made a completely 180 from, the first two games of the year to where we are now. So, all these Cowboy fans here in Dallas, dude, they're quiet. I can't even find any of them. I can't even beat my chest anymore because these guys are all scared. But I appreciate you guys for letting me on, and I'll talk to you guys probably next week. So take care.
All right, Leon.
Appreciate it, Leon.
Leon, not
sorry
a Cowboys
fan. Sorry for hanging up.
Yeah, don't hang up on him.
I don't really think that was me.
You're a hang-upper.
I'm not really a hang-up guy. So now I'm trying to think. That had to be Michael B. Was that Barkan?
That was Barkan.
Oh, yeah. He has an itchy trigger finger.
For sure.
Was that Barkan? That wasn't me.
I love Barkan, but he was always wired. He was always on sugar or caffeine or something.
Definitely, yeah.
A lot of sugar and caffeine.
Coffee, yeah.
So the fight, the only good part of the fight was the women fight that happened. The girl got robbed.
Oh, she definitely got robbed.
That cut on her eye.
Oh, man.
Her eyelid was like hanging off.
Oh, man. That was brutal.
It was.
That was brutal. I almost couldn't take it, but I couldn't turn it either. I was locked in on it, but that damn cut was getting wider and wider each round. And she seemed to fight harder
after she got cut.
Yeah, man.
Yep.
Warrior. True warrior, man.
I assume all the time when a boxing match doesn't get the judging that it should. I just assume it's dirty. I think for 30 years of watching fights it's just like you watch that one and the woman she was fighting got penalized a point for headbutting.
She still won.
So when they said everyone had it 95-94, I was like, it's obviously.
You just knew she won. I can't remember her name.
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
Yeah.
But the sad thing about the Jake Paul Tyson fight is, he just said he's not going to get he's not going to get tricked by one of those again. Mm-hmm. I'll get tricked again.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Especially if it's on Netflix.
Yep.
I already paid for it.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm already paying my $12
a
month, whatever.
So, if you're going to have Netflix going to start doing fights, I'm in. And I got to be honest, I didn't want to see Mike Tyson get beat down in there.
No.
Like that.
No.
That's the last thing I wanted to see. And once I realized he's in there with a knee brace on, what boxer comes to the ring with a knee brace on? You knew it was some BS at that point.
Well, you heard, he said he had to have a, because they delayed the fight. Mm-hmm. He said he had to have a bunch of blood transfusions this summer, and he
blood
almost died. He said he lost half his blood, and he had to have 8 blood transfusions.
Come on, Mike.
And then he fought 5 months later?
Come on, Mike.
Come on. Someone let him host a talk show or something pay him for that.
I mean, but the biggest question is it normal for guys to be walking around the dressing room with their cheeks out like that, man, and everybody in the dressing room?
That's how I walk around at home.
I mean, literally, he got a room full of people in there, and cheeks is out, bro. I mean, like, he did that interview with his son and walked away, and I said, hell no.
I need to see the package.
I said, hell no, Mike ain't walking around here with his ass out on just in the dressing room.
With the TV cameras.
I mean,
though.
Men, women, everybody just moving around in the dressing room like that's normal or something.
And I'll be honest, that, like, looking at the cheeks, he didn't look like he was in shape.
It wasn't firm. It looked like a 58-year-old ass, man. It really did. I saw dents and everything. Yep. I saw dents, man.
Cottage cheese.
Seriously, man.
When I saw him there, I was like, oh, this guy's got no chance.
Yeah.
You got to...
I ain't got much back there. When I turn 58, it ain't going to look like that, though. Ain't no dents going to be in my ass. I can tell you that much, man. I can tell you that. I might look like I'm 6 months pregnant, but I ain't going to be no dents in my butt. That's for sure.
Especially if you know there's TV cameras that might see them.
Hey, hasn't he been training?
What's he doing?
What's he doing? Put some boxers on, bro.
Jack, did you watch it?
No, I was asleep.
Okay.
Meanwhile, Jake Paul came in there like a damn Snoop Dogg video.
In
a car and everything else.
Yep, and Mike just walked
out. Mike just walked out there and his usual towel over his neck.
Yeah.
I didn't realize he was naked up under his shorts all these years, though. Has he been boxing like this? Is that how he boxes?
I got to go watch old fights now and see if I see an outline of underwear.
Like, what's going on, man?
Yeah. All right. Coming up next, everyone's favorite part of the WIP Afternoon Show. Jack, what do we have to expect in the top 5 of 5?
Yeah, what are you doing?
I was stuck in a tough situation this weekend.
Oh, boy. Okay.
What does that mean?
Well, we'll find out, I guess. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.